Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. But we also have a good friend of ours, Corey Anderson. Corey Anderson has been studying Mormonism for about 20 years. He's engaged Mormons on social media, had dialogues with a BYU professor through email. And I think, Corey, you're quite qualified to understand the ins and outs of Mormonism. And because of that, we wanted to have you with us today as we go through this book, Change Through His Grace. It's a book that came out in 2017 by Brad Wilcox, a very popular speaker in Mormon circles. He's a professor at Brigham Young University, and he does speak on the subject of grace. And he gave a very famous talk back in 2011 on this issue. And as you mentioned in yesterday's show, a lot of what he brings out in this book certainly seems to overlap some of the things that he said back in 2011. In yesterday's show, I introduced what we're going to be talking about today, and it's found on page 13 of the book under the subheading, Perils of Grace. You made an interesting comment off air, and that had to do with a statement that Wilcox makes earlier in the book when he talks about a Mormon convert named Brad McNary who was kind of concerned about whether or not the Mormon Church even taught about grace or enough about grace. And of course, Wilcox counters that by saying that just about everything pertaining to Mormonism is all full of grace. That was the expression that he used. Their scriptures is full of grace. Conference messages are full of grace. The teachings of Joseph Smith are full of grace. The hymns are full of grace. But then he gets to page 13, and it almost seems like Brad Wilcox forgot what he said a few pages earlier, and it's under that subheading, as I mentioned, Perils of Grace.
Yes, and Brad states, "Perhaps the reason Latter-day Saints have been hesitant in the past to speak and teach about grace is that we never want to be seen as going to the same extreme as many other Christians when it comes to this doctrine."
Now, wait a minute. I thought everything about Mormonism was all about grace, and yet, as you point out, they've been hesitant to talk about it.
Right.
Because they don't want to go to an extreme, he says.
Yeah, so in the last show where we talked about this, I mean, yeah, we pointed out Brad McNary, and he's like, where's grace being talked about? Page 4, I mean, that's where Wilcox states very clearly, grace is everywhere in all of our hymns, Joseph Smith, you name it, you can find grace. We talked about his earlier speech at BYU where people are just super confused about grace and he's trying to clarify it for them. And then he admits on page 13 that, well, we've been rather hesitant to talk about grace.
Well, what is this extreme in Brad's opinion?
Well, he states, carrying on page 13, sadly, too many in the world see grace as a little more than permission to sin and procrastinate rather than the power to become, quote, dead to sin, Romans 6, verse 2, and, quote, born of God, Mosiah 27, 25. Too many live like spiritual couch potatoes and still expect God to beam them up when the time comes. They view grace as a get-out-of-jail-free card that exempts them from living even the most basic of commandments. They speak endlessly of forgiveness, but rarely of repentance. They see ordinances as non-essential works and believe their rejection of them will be overlooked by God, because by grace are ye saved through faith, Ephesians 2, verse 8. Latter-day Saints agree with Christian authors who label such views as cheap grace or easy believism that makes no moral demands on the lives of sinners.
That's just a caricature of what many Latter-day Saints are going to use against the Christian when they're in conversation. They think that it gives us a license to sin if we say that we're saved by grace alone and that works don't matter. But that's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches, and that's not what historic Christianity has taught.
I think what bothers me about this logical fallacy that Mr. Wilcox uses here is, even if that was true, and I think he's right, there are a lot of professing Christians that would certainly take advantage of grace. But I would say Mormons do the same thing. I mean, come on. Mormons, if they're constantly repenting, as many of them say they do, aren't they also taking advantage of grace, knowing that, well, I can just repent about this and everything will be okay? Sure, grace is risky. That's what Chuck Swindoll said, and I think Swindoll's right. Grace is risky. You can run the risk of taking advantage of it. Paul addresses this in his epistle to the Romans when he says, okay, now you're going to understand what I'm saying, that this could possibly mean that you can sin willfully, that grace may abound, but what does Paul say in response to that?
God forbid it, he says.
God forbid it. So even though you might have people taking advantage of grace, misusing grace, abusing grace, does that, Corey, make the doctrine of grace as we understand it wrong?
No, absolutely not. It doesn't. I mean, there's always people that misunderstand and abuse things, and you know, what we need to do is stand in the place of, you know, the Word of God and say, this is what the Word of God clearly teaches. In the book of Titus, I mean, the Apostle Paul made it clear that it's this grace that teaches us to deny ungodliness. And the grace specifically he's referring to in the context there in chapter 3 is the grace that comes first and foremost through regeneration, through the Holy Spirit that's been poured out on us, and we're justified freely by His grace, not by works, and it's this grace that teaches us to deny ungodliness. It's the natural result of regenerating grace.
In one of his stories that he tells in this book, he talks about this Japanese Christian by the name of Kanzo Uchimura, who apparently was appalled by what he saw as examples of professed Christianity, where it says here on page 14 that Kanzo was totally unprepared for the swearing, dishonesty, snobbery, and prejudice he found displayed on all sides by people who claimed to be saved by the grace of the Son of God. Now, when I read that, I thought, wait a minute. Now, Mormons don't often swear, although I've had Mormons swear at me before because of some of the things that I said to them. But when it comes to dishonesty, snobbery, and prejudice, is Mr. Wilcox really going to try and tell us that people living in Utah who are not LDS have not seen those traits in professing Mormons they live among? Because that is usually one of the big complaints I do hear from non-Mormons living in Utah, that they do see a lot of dishonesty, snobbery, prejudices, certainly a lot of arrogance and pride, that's for sure. And so if that's the case, and the Mormons seem to understand grace correctly, then should we just get rid of their understanding of grace because we've seen bad examples of Mormons applying this in their life?
No, I think that's a faulty way of going about it. Just because there's an abuse of a doctrine doesn't mean that that doctrine is wrong. It just means that maybe some people need to be better informed. And when you understand that in Christianity, salvation does come by grace, and it's a gift that you could have never earned on your own. If you're given $10 million, there's no way most of us are ever going to make $10 million in a lifetime. You'd have to earn $200,000 a year for 50 years. I don't know too many people who are going to do that. When you're given a gift like that, your natural reaction is not going to be one of wanting to disobey what that person wants you to do, but rather you want to honor that person. And I think the same way with God. He's given us a gift that's so valuable. Why would we want to spit in His face? But we want to do the right thing. I think there are some people in churches, though, that don't acknowledge that and don't really understand the true meaning of grace. And that's what we need to do as believers, is to inform Christians as to what their grace is all about. And that's the gift we want to also share with Latter-day Saints.
On that same page where he gives this example of this Japanese Christian, he also talks about how some Latter-day Saints have gone to the opposite extreme. We say God helps those who help themselves, or we've got to meet God halfway, and are slow to recognize our complete dependence on Christ. Too many view His grace as a final boost into celestial glory once we've gotten as far as we can on our own steam. And what doesn't that seem to go along with 2 Nephi 25:23, though, that we are saved by grace after all we can do? And when you have church manuals emphasizing that this is talking about personal effort, the responsibility on the part of the member in the Mormon church, maybe it may not be a halfway point, but certainly there has to be a contribution on the part of the Latter-day Saint if they hope to achieve that celestial glory in the next life, would they not?
Well, I think definitely would have to. I think even just, you know, the reading that we did earlier from Stephen Robinson's book, Believing Christ, the parable of the bicycle, speaks to this very issue. In his case, it's not a meeting God halfway. It's a meeting God with your 61 cents, right? In the story of his daughter and the bicycle. There's still a meeting God, something that I'm bringing to the table. It's still synergism, the bringing of works and grace together to create a doctrine that is foreign to Scripture.
True to the Faith, a gospel reference. It's a church manual that was written in 2004. It says the phrase, "After all we can do," teaches that effort is required on our part to receive the fullness of the Lord's grace and be made worthy to dwell with Him.
It's interesting, that phrase, "and to be made worthy to dwell with Him." That responsibility, as I mentioned earlier, is put on the shoulders of the individual member. You cannot separate that.
Right.
This is why I found some of the things that Wilcox says in his book, well, I'll be quite honest with you, I found them irritating, because he's saying things that I don't think he could possibly defend if he was challenged, let's say in a public auditorium on this. How is he going to make these comments that he makes, where it talks about, where he says, for instance, that instead of seeing Christ as making up the difference, now he sees him as making all the difference. See, that language means nothing in light of, for instance, that manual that you just read, which is a correlated manual approved by the First Presidency, and members are expected to read it and believe what's in it. And that does not sound like what Wilcox is trying to get across in this book.
And we said on the first show of this series that there is a disclaimer he has at the beginning of the book to say that he's only speaking for himself, but it would be nice if he would correlate himself better with what the leaders are teaching currently in General Conference, because obedience and doing, and yes, grace is used, but what does it mean, grace? And it's just basically an ability to have a general resurrection, but if you want exaltation, it's going to take your own efforts to be able to earn that.
In tomorrow's show, we want to look at what Mr. Wilcox says regarding this idea of grace never being alone. I think this is the core of the argument that Wilcox and others, and he mentions his colleague Robert Millett, who is also was a BYU professor, and how they will use this phrase that is amazingly attributed to Robert Millett in the book, but yet it wasn't really Robert Millett that came up with that phrase. And so in tomorrow's show, we're going to talk about this idea about grace never being alone.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Did you know that this year marks the 40th anniversary of Mormonism Research Ministry? All of us at MRM want to thank those of you who have faithfully supported our efforts to educate the body of Christ about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity, as well as sharing God's grace with the Mormon people. If you would like to give a special anniversary gift to further our efforts here at MRM, simply click the donate button on our homepage at mrm.org. Your support, as always, is greatly appreciated.